Oh, just one. Okay, so we did do that. We started the recording. Okay, fantastic. All right. Welcome everyone, and thank you for joining us. I am Gina Kozak, and I am your host and coordinator for ODXT, Organization Designed by Technology Series, which is one of many options that you have as part of the ODF community. Today, we're going to explore the AI roadmap at OrgView, a platform and partner that I have the pleasure of working with regularly. This is one of four sessions, ODXT sessions in our 2025 schedule. Upcoming ODXT, as well as other events, are posted at organizationdesignforum.org. This hour is organized into three parts. We're going to start with an introduction to OrgView, what it is, what it does, and why it matters in the field of organization design. Then we have a guest, Stacey Anderson. She's a member of the Salesforce OD team, and she's going to share her experience, how OrgView is supporting their work, and what they've learned along the way. After that, we'll take a deeper dive into OrgView's roadmap for AI capabilities with John, focusing on the emerging impact and value of AI-enabled analysis. We have built-in time for discussion at the end. I will also mind the chat throughout so we can pause after these sections. So feel free to drop your thoughts and questions in as we go. This is being recorded, and an email will be sent to everyone that has signed up when the recording is available. So thanks again for being here, and let's get started with Amalia.
Great. Thanks, Gina. All right. Well, welcome, everybody. I'm Amalia Stein. I'm a senior account manager here at OrgView, and I support our customers strategically to get them as much value as they can from using our platform. I also happen to work with the majority of our customers here in North America who have been the most eager to pilot our AI offerings, and one of whom you'll hear from today, Stacey. I've had the benefit of walking this path alongside them and learning together, and I'm really excited to share some of that with you all today. So let's jump in. All right, so this is working. First, just in case there's anyone who's not familiar with OrgView, I'm going to do a quick overview. So we're a org design and workforce planning software. OrgView is a system of design. We bring together all the relevant data that you may need for planning the future of your organization into one place. Your HRIS data, your financial planning data, your skills data. With all that in one place, you can easily analyze areas of and opportunities for change, then design what those changes will look like, plan for implementing those changes, and then continually monitor how you're doing against that plan over time and make adjustments to assure you're staying on track. So some of our key use cases include cost optimization, right-sizing your workforce, assessing and redesigning the work that's being done. We've also recently added our enhanced labor benchmarking to our portfolio, comparing your business performance against peers, which includes that labor market intelligence data related to the impact of AI, and that's what we're going to demo for you today. So I want to start by saying I am not an expert in AI. And actually, I don't think there are any experts in AI. I think there are people who are experts in building AI, but even the CEOs of those companies are not experts in what AI is going to do for us or how it's going to change our jobs or even society. And we're still very much in the messy middle of figuring all this out through trial and error. And as OD and workforce planning practitioners, I see it no differently. So I'm excited to explore what possibilities are in front of us. But that being said, there are some things we do know to be true today. So one is the importance of understanding AI on our workforces, that impact assessment. And then the second is AI at the most basic level will help us do some of the most time-consuming aspects of our job faster, such as scenario planning, impact analysis, and opportunity identification. But beyond that, I think there's still a lot to be discovered. So at OrgView, we believe that organizational design decisions fall to humans and that our role is to provide the resources to arrive at those decisions faster with better data and greater visibility into impact. Our strategy begins with a focus on acceleration of data management and structural analysis and opportunity identification tasks. But we're committed to keeping pace with the disciplines of organization design as it evolves, including the role of AI and its impact on how our work is done. So, although we are still at the very beginning of understanding what this technology can do for us, even the companies that are building these platforms and on the leading edge are also still figuring out what's possible. Our alliance partners Deloitte, they released a report earlier this year that examined how executives are planning to transform their businesses. And it's no surprise that org structure and digital strategies are the two top levers. So yeah, I think we all can see that in the work we're doing as well. And we're just seeing more and more examples pop up in the news of how companies are approaching this digital and AI transformation and mitigating their talent risk with this skills forward approach. It's, you know, some of the companies that are doing this in the smartest way are taking that approach. So one example I'm going to touch on here is just Salesforce. This is from the news, but, you know, Mark Benioff has been talking about the application of AI in their call centers and how they found a way to redeploy over 2/3 of the employees fielding those calls into other customer-oriented roles like customer success and sales. And that really required that skills forward approach. And with all these companies seeing promising results, most are not actually seeing the ROI that they anticipated. IBM's been in the news for their research that showed over the past 3 years, CEOs have said only about 25% of AI initiatives have delivered their expected ROI. So that's increasing the pressure on businesses and technology leaders to demonstrate that financial impact. And we see it in our research as well. OrgView did our own research study where we surveyed over 1,000 business leaders, and 72% of those leaders said they consider AI to be the main driver for workforce transformation over the next 3 years. And 39% of those surveyed have already made people redundant as a result of AI. But the key statistic on this page is that of those 1/3 companies that already let people go as part of their AI initiatives, the majority of them, 55%, have said they regretted that decision. And we know why that's the case, because they're under pressure to deliver the results of these AI pilots, and most are making decisions based on emotion rather than rational analysis. And that doesn't mean that the ROI is not coming, it's just not there yet, and it will require us as individuals and corporations, be more agile and adapt faster. We heard this from Slalom at the ODF conference a few weeks ago. They spoke about the importance of building an adaptable organization. And I also heard it from a webinar that Natalie Scardino, Salesforce's chief people officer, she did on LinkedIn a couple weeks ago as well, talking about the skills that they're looking for in this new digital transformation. And adaptability was the top of that list as well. So we know that that's going to be very important. And in addition to adaptability, part of what's going to be key is shorter planning cycles. So traditionally, people have made these reactive, shoot from the hip style decisions, but now we're seeing more leaders are moving into a position of continuous transformation because they have access to information more quickly, so they can be more proactive. And technology such as OrgView supports this. You can do your planning more regularly, which allows for a less disruptive approach and redeploying talent instead of laying off, etc. And you also might recognize this slide if you were at an ODF conference and my colleagues joined the session with my colleagues Jill and Christy. They spoke about how bringing workforce planning and OD together can help the business create more proactive and continuous planning cycles. And that's actually a change that Salesforce made earlier this year, combining their OD and workforce planning teams under the same leader. So I am going to ask Stacey a question about that later. So we'll hear how that's been going for them. Now, if you remember at the top of this presentation, I said the first thing we know to be true about AI is we need to understand the impact. So really the biggest opportunity for us right now as practitioners is understanding how AI is going to impact the business. Because every company is going to go through some sort of AI transformation, whether it's now or in a few years. And we need to be able to help those leaders see the impact AI is going to have on how work gets done, all the way down to the task level. People want to set their workforces for AI, set up their workforces for AI success and identify where to invest to access the best benefits. And this requires a good understanding of what roles and positions are most likely to benefit, as well as where other organizations are using AI and the skills most in demand, the skills that they have available, or what will need training. So OrgView brings together your organizational data with that external data to quickly identify where there may be opportunity in your organization specifically and where there's risk. So this is what John is going to demo for us towards the end of the call today. And then I also want to take a moment to speak about the second focus is understanding how we can use AI as practitioners to drive faster outcomes. So while there are many types of AI out there, I like to think about it distilled into two distinct categories. One is assistive AI, so using AI to augment human capabilities. And I'm sure a lot of you are already experimenting with things like ChatGPT and Copilot. You know, we're recording this meeting using AI. And these things make your daily tasks more efficient. So there's a lot of opportunity in the org design and workforce planning space where this assistive AI can have a huge impact. And I'll speak to that more on the next slide when I talk about what we're building with Henshaw. And then there's agentic AI. So this would be a digital worker that operates autonomously. And there's a lot more uncertainty around this type of digital workforce transformation. But this is what companies like Salesforce are starting to experiment with in that AI call center example I gave earlier. So at OrgView, our AI strategy is focused on acceleration with that assistive AI. Again, we believe that organizational design falls to humans and that our role is to provide the resources to arrive at those decisions faster. But I did want to share a quick side story of a conversation I had recently that I found pretty thought-provoking, and hopefully you will too. So I spoke with a workforce planning leader at a conference a few weeks ago, and he was excited about AI because he wants to build an OD agent that would be able to actually interview business leaders, collect requirements, and then create bespoke workforce plans for each of those leaders. And for this person, that OD agent would be a game changer in terms of the impact he and his team could have on their business, because he said right now it takes him about 4 months to go through that whole workforce planning process with one leader. And it's just not feasible to do that across the entire business with a team of only a couple people. So I just found that really interesting that that's how he was thinking about it. But that idea of an OD agent might not be the solution everyone's looking for. I had a lot of questions immediately. I think there's a lot of value in those face-to-face interviews beyond just the requirements gathering. There's relationship building, there's reading between the lines. So, that approach might not resonate with you directly, but there are likely a lot of other opportunities for how OD practitioners can work side by side with agentic AI to be more efficient in our roles and ultimately serve the business. So I challenge all of you to think about this question. What does AI enablement look like for you? What do you wish you could be doing that you aren't able to do now? And every company has a unique OD and workforce planning process. So how might an assistive or agentic OD consultant align to your unique strategy and op model? But regardless of whether we're talking about assistive or agentic, in both cases, the AI model will need to be trained. So it's going to become more important than ever for OD practitioners to get super clear on specific design principles and design criteria. Because that's the type of context, in addition to business context and external benchmarks, that we will need to be feeding into the AI model in order to get actually useful outputs. There's no room to start designing an organization first without getting clear on the inputs, which I'm sure you all have experienced that before, where leaders just want to jump right into design, right? So, what does that mean for the job of the OD practitioner? I think it becomes more strategic. Planning becomes even more important. And if all of our academic training is correct, then the outputs should also be of higher quality and more effective in achieving our objectives. So hopefully that's good news for all of you. And now I'm going to give you a little preview of what we're building at OrgView. So a quick little history for all the OD nerds in the audience. This is the first ever organizational chart produced in 1855 for the New York and Erie Railroads. And George Holt Henshaw was the draftsman who drew up this org chart. And so in an homage to him, we named our suite of tools Henshaw, our AI suite of tools Henshaw. So there you go. So what are we actually building with Henshaw? A lot of people have been rushing out ChatGPT-based services to get on the AI bandwagon. And our approach is a little different. We focused on what outcomes are you really trying to drive? Because we want to build a base suite of tools that will give us the platform to then be able to experiment and figure out how AI can be more effectively leveraged by OD and workforce planning practitioners. So we're trying to drive speed. All three of our base tools will help speed up the processes that are laborious and give people much quicker access to what they need to make decisions and reveal insights by your organization. We have a very sophisticated platform, and our goal is to leverage AI to better access those sophisticated features within our platform. So the first is Henshaw Roles. This is where we're using AI to build a role clustering capability, because a well-structured job architecture, as you all know, is a key driver to enabling companies to successfully navigate this AI business transformation that we're all up against. And this will help us focus on skills, pivoting talent, and avoiding layoffs. So a quick example, the customer that was piloting with us, we worked with an organization that had 10,000 positions, and they wanted to create a role architecture. And the person who was tasked with doing this was given 6 months to do the mapping and validation. We helped them do it in 2 hours. And so when they went into their meeting where they were going to tell their leaders how they were going to do this in 6 months, they actually just gave them the answer. So they're very happy with that output. So, that's just all about speeding up that foundation for your org design and workforce planning capabilities. The second thing we're building is Henshaw Assistant. So this is a natural language processing tool, bringing in the capability for you to ask OrgView certain design things. So you can ask, how do you create a chart for how many layers sit under this part of the business? Or I want to create a new calculation to see span of control that excludes a certain type of role. You'll be able to just do all of that with plain language, and the user can bypass some of the upskilling that's usually required when learning a new software. And then lastly is Henshaw Spans. So this is going to help with your scenario modeling. If you wanted to identify where there's opportunity to take out cost, you can input your design roles, and then OrgView will actually make recommendations for those position level changes. Of course, always to be reviewed by a human, but it'll allow you to test those different scenarios and iterate faster than ever before. So we are in a pilot phase with all these tools right now. We've been testing them with some of our most eager customers, Salesforce being one. So you're going to hear from Stacey Anderson in a bit about her experience. And Gina actually also had the opportunity to pilot some of this stuff in her role at UHG too. So maybe at the end, she'll chime in about her experience as well. And we're planning to release these features to the public in the coming months later this year. So we are planning to come back if ODF will have us do another tech talk once they are released in the platform, so we can actually demo the functionality for you. And with that, I would love to introduce Stacey Anderson, Director of Transformation and Enablement at Salesforce. Stacey, thank you so much for joining us. And as I try to unshare my screen, will you give us a quick introduction to the work you're doing on org design at Salesforce?
Sure. Hi, everyone. Can you hear me okay? I feel like that's the way you have to start every virtual meeting these days. But hello, everyone. Stacey Anderson. I'm at Salesforce, been there almost 4 years now, which in Salesforce terms is a very long time. I have had the good fortune of working with Amalia and the OrgView team for probably about 8 years. I also led an implementation at Cargill prior to my time at Salesforce. And since joining here, we've been standing up originally what we were calling org strategy and effectiveness. And now, as Amalia alluded earlier, we have merged what was our strategic workforce planning and org strategy and effectiveness teams to create what we're calling strategic workforce and organizational planning. So happy to be here, happy to chat through all things org design, one of my favorite topics.
Thank you. All right. So Salesforce has been in the news a lot lately for all the great work that you've done on moving your customer service teams into other parts of the business as AI has been introduced into the customer service network. So I know your team wasn't responsible for that work specifically, but would you say this approach encapsulates how Salesforce is thinking about org design today, especially as AI continues to change how work gets done?
Definitely. So Amalia also alluded to Natalie Scardino, our Chief People Officer, presenting recently. We've got kind of a three-piece framework for how we're thinking about, let's say, org design and org evolution in the age of AI. So we start with this idea of redesigning. So looking at the work and redesigning, right? Like, where do we think about what the human factor becomes versus what the machine, whether that's a generative AI component or an agentic component, right? Like, what does that piece become? Then what we're working through is a lot of that reskilling. So how do we help people be ready for whatever that evolution looks like? Ultimately landing on redeploying. So I think there's a lot of really incredible ways to think through what AI in our work looks like today. But again, for us, we're kind of starting across the board with that really simple foundation of those three R's, as they're called. We love any kind of snappy acronym that we can use at Salesforce. So we've got our 3R framework for how we're approaching org design.
Awesome. Okay, and we also alluded to the fact that you guys recently combined your org design and workforce planning teams under one leader. So can you talk about how that change has changed your work and helped you view your entire op model?
Yes, I think we have been on a long-term mission. I think not a Salesforce unique problem. I think a lot of organizations face this of thinking through like, what does a true strategic workforce planning function look like, right? Like how do you move people away from thinking through only the operational components and thinking a lot more big picture? Stacy's view of the world, this doesn't have to be everybody's, but is that really well done strategic workforce planning becomes a lot of core run the business activities, right? You're partnering with finance for long range plans. You're thinking about what does that look like from a workforce perspective? What do we need to be mindful of around our locations, metrics we're tracking, all of these pieces. And then where my team has historically played or where I view org effectiveness functions is really more in like a lot of the bigger body projects or programs that spin up in service to that, right? So when you're thinking about how you're going to run your business longer term, there's always something that comes up that requires that we have the agility and fluidity to either redesign, rethink elements of an op model, or evolve even a specific team's ways of working. So for us to really kind of combine forces and make all things workforce and organization from like a design and a partnership perspective live in one place is really, again, our way to hopefully simplify the experience for our stakeholders, right? You just have this one team that you come to, you sort out what that looks like in the background, but we get really clear on what partnership with this team looks like and hopefully just deliver better, more well-connected business outcomes, right? Like these are teams that should be really tightly connected regardless. So for us, the idea of bringing everything all under one leader is really hoping that we're making that a lot simpler and cleaner for what we can deliver.
Yeah. And I have observed that too, working with you guys,
good,
just in how you talk about it and, you know, things that used to be like, oh, we have to go to that team are now more at the forefront. So yeah,
yes.
I think it's great. Okay. So with AI, there's upskilling people and reskilling are these like really hot topics right now. And, you know, leaders tend to lean in and get really excited about these initiatives. So how do you take advantage of that excitement to get buy-in to drive this org design work forward, even when teams are moving fast and it can be hard to slow things down?
It's the balancing act, honestly. I think stakeholder management, which feels like such an antiquated term for me, it's way more just having the emotional intelligence to understand who gets what delivery out of which thing, right? So talking to this person is not the same as talking to this person. They might want their information differently. They might, you know, some people might be much more around the emotions of the people side. Some people are going to be way more around the numbers. So understanding which stakeholders you have to influence which way is really, for me, kind of how we start that conversation. You have to be able to grab their attention, build the trust, build the relationship, because the reality for us is we'll have to slow down in some capacities, right? Like so many leaders, and I'm sure you all experience the same thing, if it feels like something's not working, just want to blow up the org chart. And part of what we need to do is get in and do a lot more of that diagnostic, what's really going on here type of work. And so building the relationship, building the trust on the front end so that you have the ability to help them understand where we have to go a little bit slower so that we can go faster, or where we maybe need to focus our energy a little bit differently than we have been. And, you know, Salesforce is a very entrepreneurial culture. That's not always the way that people want to work, but part of what we have to do is help them understand to achieve those outcomes, some of these things that we have to do are going to require a little bit more intentionality. I try not to use words like rigor or like process or things that sound lengthy or slow, but really just, again, helping them understand to deliver on the thing that they're so excited about, we might have to have some pieces of this process be a little bit more thoughtful.
Yeah. Can be challenging, but
yes, sure. Yes. Can.
Can I pause us there for just a second? Someone asked you to repeat your 3 R's, Stacey.
Yes. So we have redesign. I can put it in here too. Redesign, reskill, redeploy. And I know Amalia had, it was on LinkedIn, so I'm assuming it's searchable. I would think they're, you know, recording and sharing some of these things, right? The webinar
that
we did. Yeah, if anybody ever wants to dig in deeper, I would think you could likely find that in LinkedIn.
Yeah, search for I'll find it later. I can have Gina send it out. But Natalie Scardino did a webinar about 2 weeks ago, and yeah, you can find it on LinkedIn. And she talks about
Okay.
SDRs.
That answers one of the other questions around having a case study. So we have some other documentation. There's a question about engagement as well. Any AI assist in terms of the resulting employee engagement and commitment?
Yes. So this is not a plug because I'm not using this officially, but I really want to. There's a AI group called Clover. If you all have seen, if you haven't, look it up, but like very specifically Clover, not like there's some sales Clover things. I'll try to find the link and share it. But it's basically an engagement partner. So if I'm a leader of a team, I can plug Clover in and it will look at things like my calendar and say, hey, you meet with Stacy at 10. Remember that these are Stacy's communication preferences. These are some of the ways that Stacy likes information. Then you meet with Amalia at 11. Here's hers, right? So there's a lot of really, really thoughtful, really simplifying ways that we can think through engagement. I would say that's better enabled by AI when we think about the leader specifics. Stacy's view of the world again, candidly, like leaders just have to lead. If you're going to be a people leader, if you're going to be responsible for any team, you still have to have your own level of engagement and partnership and collaboration with your teams. That just feels pretty realistic when we're paid to sit in seats and do jobs. But there are a lot of really cool, really powerful tools that can help you think through, again, better partnering and engaging with your individual teams. And a lot of those outputs downstream look like they can help you think through, all right, like, and now how are we trending as a team? What results are we seeing over time? If I'm paying better attention to a lot of this, am I driving better engagement with my teams? All sorts of good stuff.
Yeah, awesome. Clover. I'll have to look that up. That sounds like I
Yeah.
need it
I'll
too.
try to,
Okay. I'll look
I
for.
noted it in the chat.
Yes.
We can follow up later. That is all the
Awesome.
questions we have for now. If we had other ones, Amalia, or we can move
Yeah, no,
on.
I got
Yeah, I
our
think you have
little
a
boy
couple more.
here.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
about Orbeez AI. So Stacey, you have piloted our AI functionality to help accelerate some of the work you've been doing. So can you share an example of how integrating that AI capability into your work has helped your team make quicker, better informed design decisions and just what that's meant for the business?
Yes. So we were, Amalia mentioned earlier, some teams that raised their hands and were excited. I was like driving all of them insane to say, please let us pilot Henshaw now. So again, this is not an endorsement. No matter how many times I'm begging, I'm not getting any kickbacks. Just kidding, since I know this is recorded. But I've worked with OrgView for a long time. And honestly, on top of being like really wonderful people, they're awesome partners. And when this first rolled out, we were raising our hands immediately and they let us in super, super early, which has been so valuable. I think first and foremost, from the speed perspective, right? Like the role clustering body that Amalia talked about is so incredibly helpful when your data is not super clean, right? Which I don't know about you all, but our people data is not awesome. The specifics of every person's job is not always exactly how we think it should be. So to be able to, essentially have Henshaw run the initial analysis for us and tell us, hey, here's some ways you could think about clustering roles. Here's some areas you might have missed, right? Like there's opportunity generation alongside that. That'll help you understand if you're doing a lot of these clusters, maybe some things you haven't considered could be over here, right? Like there's just a ton that it's a very, very fast analytical tool, but it's also a really awesome second set of eyes, if you will, right? Like giving us the opportunity to think through elements of evolving our job architecture. Right. Like for anyone that was at the Strategic Workforce Planning Conference a few weeks ago, job architecture is going to evolve the same way everything is with AI, right? So how do we build for more fluidity? We still have to have parameters for jobs and things like pay equity and a lot of other very, very important things rely on that. But we can build with more fluidity and we can be a little bit more thoughtful on how we kind of position ourselves for whatever's coming, right? Like we have this really bizarre desire, especially I notice with a lot of my strategic workforce planning counterparts, wanting to feel like we're predicting the future. We want to plan everything 3 years out. And it right now feels like a really difficult thing to even try to peg down, right? Like ChatGPT, my favorite coworker, we're a Gemini squad internally, but I use ChatGPT personally constantly. The original rounds of that started in 2018, right? It's 2025. So everything that we're hypothetically talking about happening right now, somebody has already built in their basement or in an office, right? And they're piloting and they're growing these capabilities. So instead of predicting which thing we think it is, it's really about how do we build with that fluidity. And this is where Henshaw for us has been so helpful, because it's this very neutral, data-driven, speedy way of looking at our organization differently and giving us some stuff to think about. We've partnered with you all long enough that the tagline's always like 80% there, right? Like Amalia alluded to this earlier, and it is spot on. Human intervention is critical, right? For anybody that's watched the Workday lawsuit that's been unfolding around everything specific to hiring, you can't just rely on the machines, right? Everything that you do needs human intervention. You need to validate. You need to be really, really intentional. But getting through so many of those front end pieces in hours versus months has been invaluable.
Yeah. Awesome.
Adaptability was just kept coming to mind when you were talking through that. Yeah. All right. Well, so another question here for you. Change is not always easy, as we all know, especially when introducing new ways of thinking about org design. So what misconceptions or pushback do you typically encounter, and how do you help others see the value in evolving these practices?
Boy, I mean, specific to design, I feel like, again, everybody jumps to the structure, right? Like we see so many people that want to just jump right into their org chart and what they think this should be. And oh, if I just move Amalia over here, right? And I think the biggest value that we've been able to drive over the last few years, and this continues to be true, is like really trying to get people focused in on the op model piece, right? And I think, again, we don't know exactly what's coming from an AI perspective, or what the future of work will continue to evolve to be, whether it's generative or agentic. I think the more that we can try to get people focused on how do we work together, right? Like there's, again, coming out of the conference, we've always talked about things like build, borrow, buy, but now there's this idea of blend, right? Like you will have this human and agentic team. What does that do? How do you work intentionally? What are our handoff points, right? Like I think just getting so clear on process, how it has to actually come together for work to get done. I think there's a ton of value there. But again, I think you only get there with leaders when you've built the trust, when you've built the relationship, that you're able to help them maybe slow down in these places where you need them to, just continuing to anchor them on the outcomes, right? Like wherever they want to get, we can only do that if we're really, really thoughtful on making sure that we set everything up to be successful.
We have a little bit of an add-on to that around specifically helping leaders wrap their head around the capability and processes that are ripe for AI.
Mm-hmm. Are we seeing leadership there? We've been pretty fortunate, honestly, that I think we are a pretty AI and an agent forward organization, right? Like Mark Benioff has been very vocal about, obviously we own Agentforce, and he's been very vocal around like AI needs to be a part of everybody's everyday work. And going back to the conference a few weeks ago, Vijay, who's the CEO of Drop, I thought like had such an awesome perspective shift that I would encourage you all to think about with your own orgs. He said, you know, like, as workforce planners, why are we surprised? Why are we surprised that machines can do these very menial, very administrative, very time-intensive tasks that we're putting in the jobs of very smart people? And I was like, what a good way to think about that, right? Like this is augmentation, and everybody's got a tagline, right? Around like, oh, how do we free people up for meaningful work? And while that's true, it doesn't always resonate when you say it like that, right? So I think it's really about getting people bought into the what's in it for them, what it means to be a part of whatever that evolution looks like. And I think, again, Stacey's view of the world, having just real conversations, right? Like trust and respect your people enough to say, hey, as things are evolving, as we know that this work is going to be different, is what you want to do, right? Like make sure that you're giving people the opportunity to feel like they really have that ownership of their career progression. And again, for us, we've been fortunate that it's our enterprise is pretty excited about AI and agentic impact in general, both for our customers and internally. But again, the more that you can dig into that diagnostic piece when you're meeting or seeing resistance and try to understand like what's really going on there, I think the better.
Yeah. All right. I have one more question if we don't have any more in the chat. Okay, great.
Yeah, we don't have any more in the chat.
Okay, great. So for practitioners who are trying to modernize org design in this rapidly changing landscape, what's one piece of advice that you would give them to help them find their influence and start making impact in the right way?
EQ. I feel like emotional intelligence is the most underrepresented skill that I see in so many corporations. But again, I think part of what we have to do, Brianna Bradley from Cargill /
My friend. I'll be following up.
All right. Well, we'll come back to that idea. So much of, I think, what we need to do to influence is just to understand the people, right? Like, understand the communication style of the leader that you need to influence. How do they like information? How do they like to lead? Having that trusted advisor, right? Like, there's always the leader and there's always their business partner, but then there's always that person that, you know, has the leader's ear, right? Sometimes it's maybe like their COO, but there is always someone that's the trusted advisor, both for that leader and really for the broader team. When you can get those people bought into, aligned to whatever evolving ways of working are, whatever you need to help them think through that's going to change. Again, we're in this moment where the change is already here. It's really about how do we adapt. So the more that you can build that buy-in, build the relationship, build the trust, I think all really, really critical ways of helping people understand. Because again, so much of, you know, when I think about my work, and I'm sure for most of you, it's the candid conversations that just have to be had, right? Like, I sit with leaders regularly and say, listen, I know you don't want to do this. I know you're not excited about this, right? Like, meet people where they're at, have real conversations. Be that partner, show up in the ways that you know are really critical to them. And it's usually something, again, where people are a lot more resilient than we've given them credit for. And when we've built that trust, when we have the buy-in, it's usually something where we're able to help move them along. Maybe not super excited, but they're moving along. And again, that all comes through having the emotional intelligence to navigate them, navigate their teams, make sure you're going about things in a way that's really going to resonate and really kind of, they call it, sometimes it's a change agent, the culture creators, right? Like, those really, really critical trusted advisors, having those individuals on board too is always really, really great, because you have the conversation, you tell them what they need, but then they go leave and talk to somebody else, right? And so what you want to do is make sure that that is going to be something that's echoing the same message, echoing the trust, and helping to move that forward.
Yeah, that's very smart. Very smart way to do that, yeah. Okay, well, I think we'll have some more time at the end for questions. So if you think of more, you can put them in the chat. But this has been so great, Stacey. Thank you so much for speaking with us. And, you know, it's just always great to hear firsthand from people actually doing the work and learning from others to gain ideas of what you can be doing in your own roles in your organizations. But now we will see how you can start to do this work, the AI impact analysis in OrgView itself. And John Lyon, our Director of Solution Consulting, is going to share that with you.
John. No problem. Thank you, Amalia. Let me just steal the screen. Again, Stacey, to your point, just making sure everyone can see the platform. It should be fine. Okay, wonderful. So good morning, good afternoon, everybody. My name is John Lyon, and I'm going to run through how we can think about using OrgView in lieu of that fascinating conversation around the impacts of AI within the organization and using some of the tool set, some of the nascent capabilities, as well as applying some of the use cases as which Stacey's kind of run through there, again, and giving a fascinating insight as to how they use this within Salesforce. But I'll do a super brief orientation, and then we'll kind of pivot into using data around your business, which will obviously typically come from a number of different sources. And then we can, to use Stacey's term there, it's not just about, you know, moving teams and moving the structure around. Maybe let's dive a little deeper and think about the impacts on other aspects of the business. So we can think about surfacing and using OrgView to begin to do some of that activity. So this is the OrgView platform. Brief orientation to what we're looking at. In the center, we have the kind of the primary visual that we're working with. On the right-hand side is a settings panel. I'm not going to spend too much time in this today. But as you might imagine, this gives you is the flexibility to pull in and input the data pertinent to you, your role, your part in the organization, as well as your use case about the business. And on the left-hand side, we have what we call slides, so a little bit like PowerPoint in terms of how we think about that today. Now, in the center, we've got an organizational chart. So again, here I'm looking at the SLT of this fictitious organization, and I can keep going down through the business and get kind of quite specific as to what's actually happening in that area. And you can see if I zone in here on the Chief Products Officer as an example, and going back to Amalia's introduction, OrgView allows you to bring in multiple different data sets seamlessly into the platform. So in this example here, we're looking at things around kind of more traditional kind of HR data. We've got maybe an agency or contractor staff solution. We have a payroll or payroll solutions. And we can also use AllView to begin to understand and articulate things around things like spans of control and all of those kind of OD type principal areas, all within the same platform. But if we begin to then add in and articulate the idea about market level data, again, in this within this context of thinking about automation and the role of automation on the workforce, we can begin to bring together external market providers to begin to layer over the top of your organization to give you further insight when you're making those decisions. So in this particular example, where this is with a partner that we call Lightcast, what they call themselves Lightcast, I should say, we haven't named them that. And this gives them a really good indication of some key current market level information around things like automation, talent supply, time to hire, average salaries, and what have you. But it's a really, really pertinent use case, because what it allows you to do then is take a lot of that external facing data and connect it into your live workforce today to give you another element of decision making around how you would want to think about the business itself. So in this particular example, you can see that I've brought this up, and we're looking at this by function or sub-function within the organization. And we can see, based on, again, this particular provider's market level data, we can see and actually drive into the level of detail to look around the risk around the business. So the piece we're focusing on today is around the automation potential. And I'm going to dive into that in a little bit more detail, but just some other areas that we can begin to then supplement that decision-making process around the supply, around salary, around demand, time to hire, and so on. But we can also then, because we have that level of detail, begin to double click into certain parts of the business as it plays out. So on the left-hand side here, this is, another organizational chart, what we call the icicle chart. You can see, again, we have the chairman at the top, the leadership level on every layer as you go down throughout the business there. If I was just to highlight a role at random here, again, I'm looking at an individual positional role within the organization, and I can begin to then understand, based on what the market is telling me about this position, the risks that are associated to hiring that particular function within the business. But again, I'm going to quote Stacey when she spoke about, we're not just talking about moving the structure around here and articulating how we can bring, you know, potentially market level data into this. Maybe we want to then think about understanding and into a little bit more information around the work that's being done by the individuals on the ground. So this is a slightly different use case, but we're thinking about diving into the detail around what work is being done. And as Marley introduced there, AllView is a system of design. So we're not just about thinking about what's happening in the business. We're also thinking, well, how can we use some of that intelligence that we've collated, worked into, and that insight that we've agreed to with as a team in order to then apply to the work that the individuals are doing, particularly in this case around automation and the role of AI within the business. So the way this works within AllView is we have a centralized taxonomy of all of the activities that you as an organization would want to achieve. Again, this is your data and your view of the world in terms of the work that's being done. This is just an example to illustrate some of those points. And you can see here, if I kind of zoom in, you can begin to get an articulation of the different areas of the organization and the work that we would want to support across those areas. But if I just double click now into this example area around supporting our clients, you can see again a breakdown of all of the types of work that we want our workers to be doing at various different points to support this particular function within the business. Now, the cool thing about AllView is that, as I said, we're an agnostic platform. We can bring that level of information about your workforce into the platform if we need to. There's also a survey that allows you to go and then crowdsource and ask individuals, departments or functions within the organization, what work they're actually doing on a day-to-day basis. And why that's really nice then is because we can begin to link this together, these work-based information together, with that taxonomy in view. So now, as in this particular example, we can see that we have a particular activity that's actually happening. We have a number of individuals that are undertaking that piece of work, and we can also begin to articulate the percentage of their time in this example that they're spending on that particular activity as well. Now, why is that cool? Because if I then look at this in a slightly different way, if I know how much time is being spent by individuals and I know the cost of those individuals, I can then begin to spin this and say, how much am I spending on each activity within the organization? So it's a really nice way to keep our friends in finance happy, because this gives them a perspective to say, well, where am I actually investing in within the organization? And how can I think about applying that kind of function across the business?
We've
Now,
got a
as
couple
Mo
questions, John. Oh, sorry, I wanted to
Oh.
pause you there for a moment. We
No,
got a
please
couple
do.
questions about the data. So a little bit more about the source and quality of the market data, and then also the activities data, how that's authored in OrgView or where they're referenced from or all that. So maybe you could talk about the data source for a minute and then get back to this.
Sure, yeah. So this example, this market data is from a partner called Lightcast. As mentioned, we're an agnostic platform, so we work with a number of partners in the space that can give us that degree of information. So that's the first point. The second point here around, the activity-based data, this is again is would be based on, if I just unfocus this, so we can go back and actually look at this in a bit of a cleaner view. This level of information, this taxonomy is would be defined by yourselves, plus or minus an external provider, things like APQC and those types of providers in that particular space. The level of the detail on the work that's being done by the employees, again, if you have that, things like timesheets and time and motion studies is a really good example of when we can bring that in. And or as I mentioned, we can think about using OrgView's survey capability to supplement that as well. So the data is defined by yourselves in terms of the sources in those particular two examples, but it combined gives you a really nice view about what's actually happening. So we're not just making structural changes, we're actually making real defined adjustments to the organization based on the insights that we know. Just checking I answered that question.
I think so. I don't see anything else. There was one more around self-reporting of activities and how accurate you found them, just in your experience or observation.
Yeah, sure. So Amalia, maybe I'll go first so you can come in with some of your experiences. So again, we have a survey within OrgView that is a configurable platform that allows you to ask your questions in your orders. Again, thinking around things like additional qualification, responsibility matrices, RAD-RACI type models. Again, I can only respond of what work that I do. There's an element of trust that's involved in that across the organization. However, we do have organizations that have their managerial layers review their teams or their leadership areas for, if you like, cleanliness. If we want to use that word properly. But then again, that becomes OrgView is the platform to capture, but then the governance around the accuracy is where you as a team can make a call in that space. And Amalia, I don't know if there's anything you wanted to add from your experiences.
Yeah, I think there's trade-offs to consider always. And, some of this data can be self-reported through a survey or a manager could fill it out. And so there's always this trade-off of do we want to ask employees to do this? And it'll depend on the project and the sensitivity of it. We have some customers who do these types of surveys every year. And so their employees are used to it. And I would imagine their data is pretty accurate versus other ones who are just trying to not disrupt anyone or make anyone, nervous about things that are coming that they may not be aware of. And so they have the managers do it and they know it's not accurate, but it's directional, right? And that's the thing that really matters for the work that they're doing. So I think it depends.
Checking if there's any other questions
No, I
as we
don't think there.
paused.
Oh, how frequently do you update it?
Again, to Malia's point, I guess that depends on the frequency of requirements, really. So again, we have customers that do this on a quarterly, we have customers that do this on a yearly. It really depends on in terms from an activity perspective, but from a source data standpoint, HR, payroll, contractor and agency solutions. Again, we have customers do that every few hours. We do have customers do it daily, weekly, monthly. Again, the refresh and the accuracy and the up-to-dateness is really, again, driven by yourselves and your need.
But in the context of AI and understanding the activities that are going to be done, that are going to change with AI, I haven't necessarily seen a lot of customers doing their own survey data. They're more just taking that external data and using the assumptions that are built into the external data of, it's all just external benchmarks of like, this is how much time a role like this is spending on the activity now. This is how what we anticipate it to be different. Again, it's all just directional. It's not necessarily, you're mapping it onto your organizational structure so you can see how it's going to impact like the amount of time that people have and the dollars that you're spending and sort of that, but you're not necessarily getting down to the granular level of exactly how much time it is this engineer spending on this and how is that going to change? I don't know if that helps.
I think so. I'd echo that. I think you used a really good word, directional. It needs to be mostly right and mostly correct, and then people can work with it.
Exactly. So, and Please, if there's any other questions in the chat, please put them in. We'll leave a little bit of time to be able to cover those off. But again, alluding to the point that Amalia made is that AllView is not just an analytical platform. We're actually a system of design, which allows us then to think about modeling work in this particular scenario in lieu of automation and the role of which AI can play across the workforce. So what we're looking at here is we can see that activity taxonomy. That defined set of work, whether that's something that we developed internally or that's taken from a third-party market provider. And we can see a number of, if you like, levers that we can think about pulling against different activity or work that's being done across the organization. These are just examples, but again, it's AI in focus. So we can think about utilizing different mechanisms and different variables when applying some of these across the workforce. So if I broad brush and say, let's go and say managing opportunities, that might be something that AI could help us augment. Like there's many, many intelligent tools today that can enable us to say that, is this the right customer? Is this the right use case? Is this the right person within the organization that's reaching out to us as an organization to give us that first pass in terms of how we can think about managing some of that work? And you can see now that I'm live moving and updating some of the work and applying AI at different points. And this kind of broad assumption is it takes about 50% of the kind of the headcount of the workforce away if we were going to augment this particular task using a tool in the space. 50% is just a broad example, but it allows you then as a team to set and build what some of those assumptions look like so that when we then think about applying them at different parts of the business, we get an output that we can analyze not only based from a headcount perspective, but then obviously therefore from a cost standpoint, that which is again, offset understanding what is the right mechanism for you as an organization in which to take this forwards. Now the flip side of this is very focused on the work. Right? At the minute we're looking at the work that's being done by people and we're actually just crudely moving that around and kind of shoehorning AI into various different points within that particular flow. The other side of it then is the impact on the people that actually are doing that work. So again, AllView is a dynamic platform that enables you to model the work, but it always keeps in context the people that are doing those activities as it stands today. So high level, I can see now that there's a number of different roles within this particular sample organization. Some of those actions that I've taken in the previous step, you can see how they can think about applying at a broad level, understanding how FTEs have been changed at various different points within the organization itself. But if I double click into that and actually begin to focus down on this head of infrastructure as an example, you can see there's three key leaders with three key areas of that particular function within the organization. And you can begin to see the role of the automation that AI can play within that work, understanding what that impact looks like. And now suddenly we've got three individuals here whose work has been highly impacted by the role of AI and how we begin to automate that into the business. Again, directional, it's a decision point, but this gives us real data based on your variables around how you believe that AI will impact different parts of your organization, what those levers look like, and therefore ultimately when we begin to model and apply those within the business, what impact does that have across the workforce as we play out? So super simple example. Sorry,
I'm going to chime in quickly. There was the question about what data is being used. And so this, the external data that John was showing at the beginning was the Lightcast data, but we have a number of different partners we work with and they all source their data in from different places. I know Stacy and her team also have been working with Deloitte. They've provided some external data on this exact same stuff. Deloitte calls it their workforce analyzer. And we are also partnering with Deloitte to be able to bring their data into OrgView and visualize it against your organization. But so that's all, there's kind of two ways to go about this. One is taking your own assumptions about how AI is going to change the work and modeling those changes like John was just showing. And then also you can get to this same visual here by taking those assumptions from that external data and bringing it in. So there's multiple ways to skin a cat, essentially.
Are we going to see the part about putting the team together? That's the part that I had worked with. Are we going to that next? Where we've got like 5 minutes left. We don't have more questions. Maybe if we have a few minutes, we can do that and then open it up.
Yeah, putting a team together. Can you say more?
No, the part that I have around applying the roles and putting the spans. It was a third part on your diagram. I think you had the roles definition. You had the The activity analysis, and then you had the, I forgot, I want to use the word you had, but it was your three-part slide, that one.
I mean, while you're getting that up, I hadn't planned to cover any more anything
Oh,
else
all
for
right.
that.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Whatever you wanted to cover, I would, I
With the
hope you.
hand, yeah, I think you're talking about Henshaw specifically, Gina. So we're
I
not
am.
gonna demo Henshaw
Okay.
because Henshaw's not in our platform at the moment. When we're piloting it, it sits outside the platform, so we don't want to show it. I mean, there's nothing to show really because it's all back end right now. But once we get that released in the platform in a couple months, then we'll come back and we'll show what that looks like. So right now, the outputs that we would show are just a little boring because it's just your span was this, now it's this. Like there, from a visual perspective, there's not a lot to show when there's nothing to do in the platform. So, yes.
Okay, my mistake. I didn't realize the delineation. Sorry about that. Okay, more to come. As we mentioned when we started the call, we are planning to have a follow-up in a few months. So we have 4 minutes left. If anyone wants to come off mute and ask questions of the team, then now would be a good time. We had some discussion going in the chat. So if anyone wants to pick that up too, that would be good. Nobody? Brains are full.
You've tested Henshaw too. What was your experience with that like?
Well, we had so the Henshaw is, again, it's a separate part and we didn't look at it today, but it helps you form teams. And so what we did is we and again, like Stacy, they have a beta. I said, that's it. I want the beta. Whatever we can do, I want to do it. And so we had as Stacy pointed out, I don't know that anybody has good data. So we used the job descriptions to model them into role archetypes. So we did that, and that was very telling because of seeing the distribution in different teams. It wasn't wildly inaccurate, but it's it showed even with that data, which I wouldn't consider really good, job descriptions, it still showed a lot of patterns that provoked discussion. The other thing that it showed that provoked discussion that was good was spans had been applied sort of broadly. And so a lot of strategic areas had higher than optimal spans and maybe more, areas that could have had higher spans didn't. So that promoted a lot of really good discussion that helped move things along on the project. And then the last thing is that particular project is 20,000 people and we had 1,500 moves. And so there is a feature in Henshaw to be able to kind of target where you might look literally by role. And so ran that, and I compared that to what the actual outcome was. And we used it literally just as an assist. Here's an idea, because it's beta, obviously, and it's job descriptions, and it wasn't, the problem was the underlying data, not the AI application. And we the it actually of the 1,500 moves, 50 of them had been picked up even on that, so it coincided exactly. So I was really impressed with that result. That it had been so rote and not customized, and we still had that many identified. So that was our experience with part two that we'll be featuring at another time. Let's see
Working
how.
discussion, I think, is key there. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. We have let's see, map and adjust the activity taxonomy in real time, and how you do the activity analysis for a really large organization. So we'll do that, and then we'll conclude.
Yes. So, yes, you can map and adjust the activity taxonomy in real time. That's all editable in WorkView. And then in terms of how you do the activity analysis with a very large org, I would say break it up into smaller pieces. So it depends on what you're trying to do. If you're trying to do an impact analysis and you're taking that external data and just want to see how that maps against your entire org and where there's pockets of opportunity and where to go then focus your efforts in more detail, that you can do for the entire org. If you are actually going to go collect data in a survey format and do activity analysis, I would say break it into smaller, reasonable chunks because it is an activity analysis from end to end is a lot of work.
Thank you. We're at the top of the hour. Our next ODXT, join me July 22nd. My guest is Agent Noon. Thank you, everyone. And I will stay on for a few minutes. Tanya will as well, if anybody has any other questions or anything else you'd like to ask. And thanks, Amalia. Thanks, Stacy. Thanks, John. This is all really exciting stuff and appreciate you your work with me and your work in general. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks everyone.
Thanks so much,
Thank
guys.
you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.